Let's pray. Father, as we come here and are visibly moved by your Spirit, Lord, how you have brought to us salvation so amazing. And your Spirit moves in our lives in such a way that too often we miss it. But today, Lord, this morning, it wasn't missed. And we thank you that that power, that feeling, that sense of peace and just being unified with you is became so evident this morning. And I pray that would not leave us. That would be something that we experience day after day. Lord, that we not just bow our heads physically for a meal or at home before we go to bed or in the morning when we rise, but that we bow our heart. That we bow, all of us, all our being, before you and give you the honor and the praise and the glory. That we worship you and you alone. Thank you for this time to look into your word and find out so much more that you have given us. And that's right at our fingertips, right there within us. We just need to reach out and claim it. You give us all things to do your will. And we pray now that you would fill us with your Spirit and continue to build in us your character. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We have heard a lot about prayer. We hear about prayer warriors, and we think of the little old lady like the video at the beginning of the service, who day after day they pray for us, they pray for others, they pray to change the world, and certainly they seem to have this direct line to God's throne. When they pray, it seems like God is listening intently on what they have to say. But we've all seen prayers answered, and we've all seen prayers not answered. And so it puts the question in our minds, you know, what is prayer for? Is it a flip of a spiritual coin, and it's anybody's guess? Or are we wasting our breath? Or is there power in prayer? The first thing we're going to look at is what prayer is not. Prayer is not a way of manipulating God for our purpose. Prayer centered does not or should not center around us. Give me this or give me that and more. Prayer is not a bribe. If I pray long enough and use the right words or use in Jesus' name, then surely God's going to answer. Or to bomb his throne. You know, that's a new term nowadays. Bombing somebody's phone or Facebook or whatever. But, you know, if I bomb his throne, if I just keep pounding him with my prayers, you know, maybe he'll get tired enough and answer the way I want it. I've heard of people that do that, going from counselor to counselor until they find one that agrees with them or that says what they want them to say. Is it reciting Scripture, the Lord's Prayer? No, it's not. Or to use religious-sounding words, you know, I've heard this, and I don't want to diss anybody, but I've heard some people use thee and thou and, you know, those kinds of words when they pray, only when they pray, and yet when they speak, it's not that way. It'd be different if you spoke that way all the time. Or we use those Christianese words like bless him or bless their soul or bless them or God Almighty we use in the prayer or either Father God or hallelujah. I'm not saying you can't use those words, but sometimes it gets a little redundant. You know, I couldn't help but think, you know, somebody, when they pray, are they praying just to hear their own voice? God shouldn't be held for ransom or extortion. You know, if you answer, I'll serve you. You know, the trench prayers. Wartime prayers. Or if you don't, I won't go to church. Or I'll stop praying. I've even used that in my past. You know, well, God, if you listen to me, if you do this or you do that, then I'll go to church every Sunday. But if you don't, you know, that'll teach him. Prayer is not getting stuff for you. Like the people saying, you know, show me a miracle. Remember, I want you to go there. It's Matthew chapter 12, 1487 in your pew Bibles, chapter 12, starting in verse 38. Matthew 12, 1487, the pew Bibles, Matthew 12, starting verse 38. Some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you." You know, it was pretty much that thing of, you know, we do this all the time. Show me a sign. Show me something. Then I'll know. We look for signs all the time. I do it a lot. And that's not what prayer is. But here in this particular instance, these Pharisees and teachers of the law, they wanted him to show a miracle, you know, do something. Come on, let's see it. Then we'll believe. Verse 39 says, "He answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." You know, so he said, the only thing you're going to get is my death as a sign. So then what is prayer? You know, it's talking to God. You know, how do you talk to your friends or your dad when you wanted something? You say, I wrote this down. I thought this kind of puts it out there. So it's, "Hey, Bill, I wonder, Bill, if you would help me, Bill, with the job, Bill. And Bill, thank you, Bill, for listening, Bill." Well, you get it. Why do we say Lord so much? You know, I know we get in the habit of doing it, and I think we need to get out of that habit. Speak to the Lord the way you would speak to anyone. Prayer is honoring God. Jesus showed us in his prayer, and he was teaching the disciples how to pray. So we're going to go there, Matthew 6, a few pages back from Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 5. And this is Jesus speaking to the disciples, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." This is how you should pray. And so Jesus gives us the pattern. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men, then when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Those are heavy words. You know, and Jesus was basically telling us, look, you know, it's not all about the words. It's not all about the method. You can be on your knees or standing up. You can be an airplane or driving down the road. But when you pray, you give the honor to the Lord. You give the honor to the Father. And you recognize who He is, what He's done, that it's His kingdom, not ours. And it's His will that will be done. And you know, very little about our own needs, but mostly about seeking Him. You know, James also has an interesting passage. I want you to go there, 1839, in your few Bibles, 1839. Right after Hebrews there, James chapter 1. And an interesting what James says about prayer. James chapter 1, starting in verse 5. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God." Pray about it. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. You see, God doesn't want us to go to Him wondering. He wants us to go with confidence. He wants us to pray. But notice what He says to pray for. If you lack wisdom, you're not asking about stuff. You know, remember Solomon who asked for wisdom, and then he was given everything. So I thought to myself, oh, well, that's the key. Ask for wisdom, and then he'll give you everything. Doesn't work that way. I tried it. So pray for what God wants. What does God want in your life? I don't know. Well, then go to the Scriptures. Seek Him in prayer. Ask Him, God, what do you want from me? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Seek Him in the Scriptures. He'll tell you. Believe me, He will. He told me I didn't believe Him at first. Now here I am. You know, there's no magic phrases in praying. There's no special vending machine in God where you put the right coins in and you pray the right way. Jesus wants unity. He wants devotion. He wants repentance. He wants us to abide in Him. He wants us to glorify God. And so that's what our prayer should do. It's not a wish list. It's not, God give me safety, health, good weather, long, prosperous life, all those things that we want. But you know what? God blesses us with those things many times. as we devote ourselves to Him. I've seen so many individuals pray and they just answer. God answers those prayers. George Mueller, if you ever want to read a biography about a man who served the Lord, there's a guy. And the Lord answered prayer after prayer after prayer for him. Unbelievable. We're here to witness for Him. And sometimes through the trials that we go through, we witness to those who are struggling. Don't pray for your trials to be gone or to live a nice, easy life. You know, Howard Hendricks, many years ago, a student came to him and said, you know, professor, you know, Hendricks, I really find myself just impatient. I just can't take it sometimes. And he said, could you pray for me? And so Howard Hendricks got to pray and he said, send him trials, Lord. Send him hardship, Lord. Send him problems in his life. And then he interrupted the professor. He said, I don't think you understand. I want patience. I want to learn how to rest in the Lord. Yeah, I understood. Send him trials and problems in his life, Lord. Give him hardship. Because it's in those things that we learn patience. That we learn to be more devoted to the Lord. That we learn and grow in Him. And then by seeking Him and by coming through and having victory over those trials, we honor God. We seek His wisdom in those trials. So, what will work God's will or honor Him in your life? What prayer should you pray? Well, what did Jesus say in the garden? Remember that? When he was praying, you know, let this cup pass from me. I don't know if I can take it. But he said, not my will, Father. Your will be done. And I know that some people look at that as a cop-out. You know, that, well, we're just praying for God's will rather than praying for whatever. But I think we want to always have that in mind, that God will work His will through you, through your prayers. And you know, the biggest prayer that you can pray, because if you're not a Christian, if you don't believe in Jesus as your Savior, God's not hearing your prayers. He's not going to do, or His Spirit's not going to move when you pray. But if you're one of His children, He hears your prayers. So the first step is receiving Him as your Savior. That's the prayer that He'll hear if you're not a Christian today. So I'd like us to bow our heads before we close this time, and I'd like you to seriously look inside. Decide whether He's in your heart or not, and make that choice. Let's bow our heads. Father, we come before You to pray, to talk to You. We honor You and thank You so much for being a God who cares about us. As the Scripture says, none to perish. You don't want anyone to perish. And nor do I. Lord, I pray if anyone here is not a Christian, has not stepped across that line, has not received You into their lives, and received Your gift, I pray right now that they would ask and pray this prayer, Jesus, come into my life. I'm tired of struggling in this life. I'm tired of dealing with all the things that harass me in this life. I ask You forgiveness. I ask that You would fill me with Your Spirit, make me a new creature. Thank You so much for eternal life and the power of prayer. And Lord, for some of us that have been Christians for a long time, I pray that our prayers would take on new meaning, new power, new new, a fresh and new look. And Lord, that we would seek you with all our hearts. That when we pray for your will in our lives. We seek your wisdom, your guidance, that you would work through us and make us witnesses for you in this life, so that more and more people could have that same gift. And Lord, we ask now that you dismiss us as we sing this last song with your blessings. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We got this last song. I don't know. I chose it because I wanted a song that was encouraging, uplifting. And, you know, When We All Get to Heaven is a song that we won't need to pray anymore. We'll see Jesus face to face.
Hallelujah.
Won't that be great? So let's all stand and sing this last song, first and last verses, up on the screen.
Sing the wondrous song of Jesus, sing His ability and His reign. His affection, bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us the way. When we all get to heaven, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day, what a day. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout victory. Onward to the fight before us, soon His victory will be over. So the pearly gate will open, we shall set the free the rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.